We're back with our bloggers roundtable. Folks are on fire about the rapper Nas wearing an N-word t-shirt to the Grammys, for starters. With us is media consultant Carmen Dixon. She writes the blog All About Race. Also author and DJ Richard Graves, who writes the blog DJ Black Adam, and Jay Anderson of the blog Average Bro. We should mention that you just won a Black Weblog Award in the Blog to Watch category. Congratulations, Jay.
Thank you.
And welcome, everybody.
Hi, Farai.
Hello.
So let's start with politics. Last night, Barack Obama won all three of the Potomac primaries. That's Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. John McCain beat Mike Huckabee. And after last night's wins, Barack Obama now leads Hillary Clinton in the count of what is called earned delegates, delegates that you win in the primaries or caucuses. So one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of people are now saying, okay, this could happen. There could be a Black president. There seems to have been, among some people, a tipping point of opinion. Jay, are you finding that's the case?
I think that's absolutely the case. I think, you know, coming into the race, a lot of people were undecided about Obama. Let's just be honest. Until the tide really turned back in December, when the Clinton campaign and their surrogate started making some really unfortunate comments, a lot of the Black community was not behind, you know, the Obama campaign. But I think the momentum of Iowa moving forward, you know, South Carolina, Super Tuesday, all these things have compounded. And I think, you know, the net result of that is obviously the African-American community is behind Obama. But I think that momentum is really just taking over for all the other demographics as well.
Carmen, there was a lot of broad support for the Obama campaign, and the Clinton campaign is having some issues at the top in terms of who's running the campaign, but it's still any person's race. What are you looking at in terms of how you process what's going on as a blogger and as a journalist?
I'm looking at two things. I'm looking at what's on the surface, the numbers, and I'm also listening for this dog whistle that we're talking about signals coming from, in particular, the Clinton campaign. I never count the Clintons out, and I understand she's in a must-win situation. So I am listening very carefully to how they frame going forward.
And for your part, Richard, when you think about this race and you think not just about these two candidates, but Senator John McCain, Mike Huckabee, there's a lot of different demographics in play. Conservatives seem to be in play. There's all these first-time voters. Are you paying attention to those groups as well?
Yeah, I've been looking at the Republican side of things. I'm finding it very funny how the evangelical vote is being manipulated, should I say.
Why do you say manipulated?
Well, they, in my opinion, from what I observe about evangelicals, I'm sure that they generally would support Huckabee. And I was surprised that a lot of them were going to support Romney. With McCain now being the candidate right now, he doesn't really make the evangelical right happy, but he seems like, I think they're going at it to look at who can actually beat Hillary or Barack if they happen to win, whichever one wins the primary.
Now, Carmen, this is definitely right up your alley when you say that you're listening for the dog whistle. There's this question of whether voters are too sensitive. Gwen Ifill, the senior news correspondent for the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer on PBS, was on Meet the Press over the weekend, and here's some of what she said.
You make the slightest comment, there's a great groundswell, sub rosa argument among women who feel that this election is being unfairly taken from them. Feminists who hear every insult, which is, you know, we heard what happened this week on NBC with the reporter who made the comment about Chelsea. That sort of thing starts a little roll going among people who are feeling aggrieved anyway. And that's the problem in a tipping point election, when any version of that kind of insult can affect the outcome, probably more than the superdelegates.
So, Carmen, are folks just too thin-skinned? I mean, this is a time when these questions of gender, race, personal identity, you know, hope, all these, you know, sometimes cliches are caught up, you know, with how we personally feel about ourselves. Are folks a little, do all these barbs cut close to the bone?
I think some barbs do, but I don't think they all do. And what I think is happening is, for the first time, the media is waking up to what the population, particularly people of color or women, we hear in comments. We've heard comments in boardrooms and in office places and in our schools and our neighborhoods that we sort of felt the barb, or we wanted to talk more about the person making a particular comment, but we were the only person hearing it. So there was no one else to express that to. I have to say, I was shocked when the mainstream media picked up on Hillary Clinton's comment about the civil rights civil rights not becoming real until Johnson signed the act. And then all of a sudden, there was an explosion. I remember the night that it happened, I was talking to a close friend and expressing that, how can no one pick this up? And then everyone saw it. And I think that's remarkable and fantastic. I don't think that's oversensitive.
So you think that in a way that in America right now there is a good sensitivity? There's people are kind of clicking into these issues that might have been below the radar?
Absolutely. I think we're having a national dialogue about all sorts of things, not just race, not just gender, but how we talk to each other. I think that's great.
Richard, do you think it's positive? Do you think that people are being more open, sharing more, or are folks still just being overly sensitive?
I think that it's positive. I don't think people are being overly sensitive. I think that it's opening up a segment of America who really didn't understand how things that they may have said or things that we may hear might affect African Americans or women. I think it's making people realize that, hey, you know, making them think about the things that they say and how they can affect people and how people are listening. So I think it's just making people pay more attention, and thereby I think that they're learning from the whole thing as it goes along.
Richard, last week, MSNBC's David Schuster said Chelsea Clinton was, quote, sort of being pimped out, end quote, by her mother's campaign. He's been suspended for his comments. So when did pimp go from derogatory to something that not only hipsters but mainstream journalists use?
Well, I think that that journalist was a victim of the same thing that Imus was a victim of, and that was trying to be a little too hip. I guess taking too many cues from the popular culture, maybe listening to too many 50 Cent songs and thinking that the word pimp can be used to talk about, the daughter of a former president, you know, using any type of connotation with that. So I think he was trying to be a little bit too hip. And I think, you know, with the way that this election's been going and with the media and, you know, with the MTV and the MySpace, everybody's trying to be hip and get that young vote. And I think he might have just thought that it was something that he could get away with saying. I don't think he meant any offense intentionally, but unfortunately, he didn't think about what he said.
Carmen, what about family members? Are they off limits, or is it fair game to talk about the proxies and the family members as well as the candidates themselves?
Family members are not off limits as long as you're addressing their political involvement. It would have been fine if he said, wow, Chelsea's come out of nowhere and all of a sudden she's pushing hard like she's a political expert. No one we wouldn't be talking about it. But he used such a derogatory term. It was unacceptable.
We just you were talking about, Richard, this being like, you know, MSNBC trying to be a rap star. But what about those actual rap stars always bringing up controversy? Sunday night at
goodness.
The Grammys, Nas walked the red carpet wearing a T-shirt printed with the N-word in big letters across his chest. His wife, the singer Khalees, and a group of women with them all wore similar getup. Now, Nas is no stranger to the N-word controversy. He made waves after announcing plans to title his upcoming CD The N-word. And we, of course, are using the N-word as a code for the N-word. And the album was scheduled to hit stores this month, but it's been pushed back indefinitely. But before the award ceremony, the CNN reporter Brooke Anderson asked Nas what message he was trying to send with the T-shirt and album.
It's all the experiences we go through every day of all ethnicities, black, white, and different. We've all at some point felt discriminated on, you know, whether it's in Dominican Republic, whether it's in China, whether it's in Iraq, with soldiers getting their heads blown off for reasons we don't know why. And, it, you know, the meaning of the word is supposed to be ignorant. So there's money being made off us poor, innocent, so-called ignorant people. So no longer are just black people niggas today. It's also me and you.
So it's kind of like a reverse We Are the World or something. Richard, what do you think about that?
First, I'm confused. Maybe I went to sleep in my grammar and history classes, but I didn't know that that word actually had a root in meaning ignorant. I thought that the word came from a Spanish word that meant black, a Spanish-Portuguese word, and was later used to be a negative term used for black slaves. So I don't understand Nas's pseudo-logic, but obviously to me, the man just wants to make money. He knew that there was a, that there would be some excitement, or he calls, some attention to his new album, and he'll sell albums because of it. Controversy sells, and I believe he knows that. He's familiar with that. But as far as his justification, his rationale for it, it's ridiculous and it's insane. And I hope that no one in the, you know, in the black leadership, you know, comes out and support his ignorance, because it's just utterly ridiculous. The man is, to me, it's just buffoonery at its best.
And Jay, you've been blogging about this.
Yes, I have. And I'll tell you, I mean, the thing about Nas is, let's just be honest. I mean, Nas has not had a great album since the Clinton administration. And we're not talking about the second term. We're talking about the first term. You know, I know a lot of people are going to get upset with that, all you hip-hop purists, and my brother himself is going to be very upset when he hears that. But seriously, I mean, when you're at the point in your career where your album titles are more exciting than the albums themselves, that's a problem. You know, I mean, he had Stillmatic, he had Hip Hop Is Dead, you know, and now, of course, we have the quote-unquote N-word. I just think, again, it's desperation from a person, you know, who's trying to remain relevant in a hip-hop game that honestly has changed. I mean, it's skewed towards younger listeners. I mean, you have your Soulja Boy demographic, and honestly, the sorts of things Nas is saying are just not interesting to the people that are actually still buying albums nowadays.
Now, Jay, before I move on to Carmen, would you be okay with him going for this kind of controversy if you thought his work was better?
I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Again, Nas, his last album was called Hip Hop Is Dead. And I think everyone was expecting this grand, I don't know, statement of some sort. But that didn't happen. I mean, the album was just not very good. You know, and on this same note, I don't think we can expect Nas to come with anything more hefty here, you know, taking on the N-word. I guess one other thing that was missed, and you didn't play it in the soundbite for Rye, but Nas also alluded to the voting rights of 1965. Yeah, 1965. In a little later in the soundbite, and I guess that was particularly illuminating. I mean, let's just be honest. Nas is getting information from forwarded emails, you know. So you can't really seriously. I mean, you can't take a guy like that seriously. What is he going to do next? Is he going to rhyme about Microsoft, you know, giving him money for forwarding emails? I mean, come on, man.
All right, really. Carmen, what do you think about that?
Just I want to echo what Jay said as far as the quality of his most recent releases. And maybe this album will be the second coming. I got a lot of heat on my blog when I first wrote about this album title. But from where I sit, Nas is no Gilsta Gottheron. The revolution will not be televised, and its anthem will not be a song titled The N-Word, period.
Well, now, that depends. If he has Timberland's production. I mean, I looked at, I think he gets Dr. Dre and Kanye, so maybe if he gets Timberland, you know, he might be able to do what he did for Justin
because,
Timberlake.
Because, you know, everybody just listens to beats. That's all it's really about.
Of course.
There was a song back in the 80s, a new wave song that said, you'll dance to anything. So maybe that's the new catchphrase for what's going on now.
How appropriate. Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Jay Anderson of the blog Average Bro. He was at NPR's headquarters in Washington, D.C. Author and DJ Richard Graves writes the blog's DJ Black Adam. He was at NPR Chicago studios. And media consultant Carmen Dixon writes the blog All About Race. She was with me at the NPR West studios. And you can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. That's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. No spaces, just nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, we continue our film series with a conversation on power moves. What do Black filmmakers have to do to get their work out? I'm Farai Chidea. This is News and Notes.